daily for finally, at long last, because God, what a week this has been. Frackin' Friday, the 26th of May, 2017. Hey, are you tired too? We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those fun places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that'll tell you, sure, you can start a podcast. It won't take over your life. It's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You don't get sucked into it. You don't get sucked in at all.
No, it's healthy. Hi there. I'm the guy who's amazed by things. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
There's really people out there without a Facebook friend in the world? That's so wrong.
So wrong indeed. Tell me what happened on this fantastical day.
In 1676, Antoine Van Leeuwenhoek uses his own homemade microscopes from his own handmade lenses to observe water running off a roof during a heavy rainstorm. He discovers that it contains very little animalcules. That's a word, that were not present in pure rainwater. The fundamental discovery demonstrates that the bacteria doesn't fall from the sky.
No, it's here the whole time and coming to get you, Barbara. 1874, Thomas Edison has issued a patent for a device concerning automatic telegraphy and its perforators thereof, which is a device that produces a message directly onto a strip of paper that can be folded. Thank you.
1931. Technology. 1931, a microfilm camera is patented by New York City banker George L. McCarthy.
1981, after a seven-year wait, Satya Pal Asija becomes the first person in the U.S. to receive a patent on computer software.
1984, in Houston, Texas, 14 top scorers from 14 regions of the U.S. compete in the Grand National Finals of Konami's Track and Field arcade game. The top three will play in Japan in June against Japan's top three players.
Damn right, USA. 1995, Sony Pictures Home Entertainment releases the cyberpunk film Johnny Mnemonic, directed by Robert Longo, sure, starring Keanu Reeves, Dolph Lundgren, Udo Kier, Ice-T, and that damn dolphin.
Also the same year, Universal Pictures releases the fantasy film Casper, directed by Brad Silberling, and starred Bill Pullman, Eric Idle, and Christina Ricci. This film, of course, is in the same universe as what? Huh? Is that a real thing, that it's in the same universe as Ghostbusters?
Dan Aykroyd shows up in costume as Ray.
Yes. Wow, it has been a long time. Now, the real trick is to find out if it's in the same universe as Richie Rich. It would be a sequel, of course.
Yeah, he killed himself. 2002, the Mars Odyssey finds signs of huge water deposits on the planet Mars.
The finest water deposits, they're huge.
In 2006, 20th Century Fox releases the science fiction film X-Men, The Last Stand, directed by Brett Ratner and starring Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Anna Paquin, Kelsey Grammer, and Rebecca Romijn.
And was it any good at all? 2008, the Mininova BitTorrent website that I've never heard of announces that it has officially served its 5 billionth torrent.
Jeez.
Birthdays?
Matt Stone, 45. Of course, one of the creators of South Park, or Gazmo, and one of my favorites, Cannibal the Musical, which, of course, we wish Matt Stone a happy Spittlewinkle Day.
I loved him in basketball, man.
You think
Shaq got rich playing in the NBA? No, he got rich in college.
Everybody knows that.
Helena Bonham Carter. Did I just fart? Helena Bonham Carter is 50. King's Speech, Alice in Wonderland, Bellatrix, and Harry Potter.
54 years old from Police Academy, Shakes the Clown, an amazing movie, and he's a fantastic director. We're talking about Bumpkin Goldthwait.
Don't forget, Mrs. Brady is a clown whore in that movie. Doug Hutchinson's 56.
And the bad guy is the voice of SpongeBob.
Yes. Doug Hutchinson's 56. Tombs on X-Files. Percy in the Green Mile. Punisher Warzone. I think he was going out with Courtney Stodden for a while.
Wow, my brain just froze up when you mentioned that. Why did it have to know that? Margaret Collin, 58 years old. Eleanor on Gossip Girl.
Philip Michael Thomas is 67, Rico Tubbs on Miami Vice, and did the album Living the Book of My Life.
I believe he is an EGOT winner, an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, one of the few. I believe it's him. It might be somebody else who has three names and was in movies like that. We've also got, Pam Grier, 67
Lord, yes.
years old. Looking forward to two more years when we get to announce her birthday. She's a Scream Blackula, Scream Foxy Brown, Coffee, Jackie Brown, Smallville, and many
nights in my bunk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No longer with us, born in 1907, John Wayne from Sands of Iwo Jima, True Grit, The Shootist, and as we said yesterday, Genghis Khan in The Conquerors, which killed him.
1912, Jay Silverheels, Tonto on Lone Ranger.
1913, Peter Cushing, from Hammer's Dracula and Frankenstein, the Doctor Who theatrical films, and Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars Episode IV and Rogue One.
And 1923, James Arness from Gunsmoke, How the West Was Won and The Thing in The Thing.
1951, Sally Ride. Ride, Sally. Ride, yes. The first American woman in space.
On television today, on CBS, we've got a rerun of MacGyver, Hawaii Five-0, and Blue Bloods.
ABC is a rerun of Shark Tank, but 2020 might be new. Who knows?
NBC has a new... I just was thinking a hindsight joke. We'll know tomorrow. NBC has a new finale of First Dates. And, of course, Dateline FXX.
Fox, since they have nothing else to show, are showing the reruns of Beat Shazam and Love Connection that they just effing showed.
I was really hoping that they were doing a TV show where basically people just punch Shaquille O'Neal, but I guess that's not it. On CW, we've got a rerun of Penn and Teller Fool Us. Fantastic show if you dig magic and comedy.
Freeform is showing Chamber of Secrets.
Cartoon Network has Neon Joe and Vance battle for mankind in the finale of Neon Joe Werewolf.
See, it's already gone too quick. I'm going to miss it like mad. FX has the director's cut of Black Hat, which I think is the one where Hemsworth is a hacker.
Makes sense. On FXX, we've got Simpsons, 30 Minutes Over Tokyo, Married to the Blob, Homer's Broken Jaw.
FXM, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Electric Boogaloo.
On IFC, we've got The Tournament.
Of what? I don't know what it's for. Nickelodeon is showing The Last Airbender. That's the movie, not the cartoon. You've been warned.
Ugh, on MTV, they're running Forrest Gump. See, because they're run.
That's all right, the YouTube tidbit. BBC America is showing Star Trek Nemesis and Insurrection again. Why?
Sci-Fi has the sci-fi classics Troy and Pompeii.
TBS has Street Fighter V, the semifinal and finals on a new E-League.
I've got my money on Jean-Claude Van Damme. TNT has Man of Steel.
But we're going to be watching ourselves the Lifetime Movie Network because after venting about her frustrations concerning her dangerous ex-husband, a woman unintentionally ends up in a pact with two other people in which they agree to eliminate each other's problems. Alexa Penaveka and Ethan Phillips star in Not Strangers on a Train, but The Killing Pact.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Belle and Not the Beast. Now the regular television season. Which one to watch? Should I rely on Amazon, Hulu, or Netflix for the next big thing? Or, well, easily, you go to Showtime because Twin Peaks is back. Or is there advice like read a book from the library, rip all music CDs to MP3, go outside? So until the GRD app works on my Kindle or iPhone, make mine geekradiodaily.com. Ah. So if you'd like to drop a note, by all means do it, please. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. The things we can talk about, the things we can say. Who knows? Maybe you'll have answers to questions. Foreshadowing.
Prepare yourself for action, romance, and spoilers. It's the Guilty Film Podcast.
Join hosts Kevin McKee, Andrew Nitsch, and their panel of scoundrels as they review their favorite cinematic guilty pleasures and reward their favorite Hollywood cliches with a prestigious trope award. Find us at guiltyfilm.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
The proceeding was a paid advertisement sponsored by Taters.
What? Taters?
Taters is a delicious meal found in your grocer's produce section.
Guiltyfilm.com.
Yeah!
Hey guys, it's Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah, you are. Because he said so. You're not going to disagree with the Green Ranger, are you? The hell you are. That'd be silly.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, I do, but none of those are out today. But there is stuff out today, including...
Thrust into an all-new adventure at down on his luck, Captain Jack Sparrow finds the winds of ill fortune blowing even more strongly when deadly ghost pirates led by his old nemesis, the terrifying Captain Salazar, played by Javier Bardem, and who not in any way, shape, or form runs the old abandoned amusement park down at the port, escapes from the Devil's Triangle, which we can only imagine what that means. Maybe that's how they ended up as ghosts, determined to kill every pirate at sea, including him. Captain Jack's only hope of survival lies in seeking out the legendary Trident of Poseidon, a powerful artifact that bestows upon its possessor total control over the ocean. Of course, it stars Johnny Depp, Kaya Scodelario, and Brenton Thwaites. Keep in mind, we're not sure exactly how erotic this is going to be if it's hitting Top Gun levels, since we have the Devil's Triangle and Trident of Poseidon.
I just really don't care. You know, I don't... And we also have an absurdist war story for our times. Writer-director David Michaud from Animal Kingdom recreates a U.S. general's roller coaster rise and fall as part reality, part savage parody, raising the specter of just where the line between them lies today. His is an exploration of a born leader's ultra-confident march right into the dark heart of a folly. At the story's core is Brad Pitt's sly take on a successful, charismatic four-star general who leapt in like a rocket. He came in like a cannonball to command NATO forces in Afghanistan, only to be taken down by a journalist no-holds-barred expose. Brad Pitt, Emery Towin, Topher Grace, Anthony Michael Hall star in a movie that is not about James Rhodes, War Machine.
I think I'd rather watch your version.
Yeah, mine's better, man.
Lady Bloodfight. Amy Johnston. Is that Amy Jo Johnston from the original?
No, she was Amy Jo Johnson.
Muriel Hoffman, Jenny Wu, and Kathy Wu. A troubled American girl, Amy Johnston, is recruited to fight in a vicious all-female and underground Japanese martial arts tournament known as the Kumite. That is Lady Bloodfight.
Should it be Lady Bloodsport?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, jerks. Black Butterfly, Antonio Banderas, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Piper Pierbo, outside a mountain town grappling with a series of abductions and murders, Paul, a reclusive writer, struggles to start what he hopes will be a career-saving screenplay. After a tense encounter at a diner with a drifter named Jack, Paul offers Jack a place to stay, and soon the edgy, demanding Jack muscles his way into Paul's work. As a storm cuts off power to the isolated cabin, the two men begin a jagged game of one-upsmanship that will bring at least one tale to an end.
Berlin Syndrome. Teresa Palmer, Max Reimelt. While holidaying in Berlin, Australian photographer Claire meets Andy, a charismatic local man, and there is an instant attraction between them. A night of passion ensues. But what initially appears to be the start of a romance takes an unexpected and sinister turn when Claire wakes the following morning to discover Andy has left for work and locked her in his apartment. An easy mistake to make, haven't we all, of course? Except Andy has no intention of letting her go. Ever. It's a thriller in limited release.
Long Strange Trip, the first full-length documentary to explore the Grateful Dead's fiercely independent vision, perpetual innovation, uncompromising commitment to their audience that made the Bay Area band one of the most influential musical groups of their generations. Every showing is once a day at 4:20.
And goes all the way up until 4:15 the next day. If none of those strike your fancy, grab your pitchfork and torch, because Svengoolie has Bud and Lou in their maddest spree of ghoulish glee. Since they met Frankenstein, it's 1949's Abbott and Costello meet the killer, Boris Karloff.
Spoilers. He's not the killer.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So one of the major questions going into Deadpool 2, how do you keep going big while staying on that small level that made it work so well? Well, you get fan favorites in there. Domino, Zazie Beetz, Cable, Josh Brolin. And you're going to need a villain that's going to kick things up a notch. Now, we know who the villain is going to be played by, and that's Jack Kesey from The Strain and Baywatch. He's been signed to play a villain, but we don't know who. What? It's weird. Online speculation is ranging from lesser-known villains like Taskmaster, Black Tom, Tombstone, T-Ray. But if you know your Deadpool, and you know that the people involved, it could be Mr. Sinister, an immortal scientist from the 19th century who created Cable from a clone of Jean Grey sometime in the future. He's appeared a number of times. You'll find him in Sinister Deadpool and Cable Deadpool. Either way, as long as T.J. Miller and Leslie Uggams get a spinoff movie in which they verbally berate bad guys into submission, I'm happy.
He's an acerbic bartender. She can't see shit, nor does she take it. Blind Justice, coming this fall to FXXXXXX.
The Dubai police have a new recruit patrolling its streets today, but it's not a graduate of the UAE's police academy. This one was assembled and programmed specifically to meet the department's needs. The world's first operational robot policeman, the 5'7" bot, weighs in at approximately 220 pounds, and it's equipped with cameras, an array of sensors, and a sophisticated AI. Always-on connectivity ensures that the Dubai police can keep tabs on its whereabouts. They can also tune into a live video stream as the robot makes its rounds. A police spokesperson said the bot's primary function is
to assist and help people in the malls or in the streets. Mahoney.
That's only part of what it does, however. Dubai already has an extensive network of CCTV cameras that are plugged into a facial recognition system. For now, it'll be focusing more on providing assistance to the public, with the ability to communicate in 6 different languages, and a large tablet embedded in its chest. The police bot can provide all kinds of helpful information. It can also helpfully take credit card payments on the spot, so perhaps you'll even be able to settle your tab for infractions, such as parking in a loading zone. For now, but in the not-too-distant future, next Sunday AD, You will have 30 seconds to comply.
Now in my mind, I'm seeing a version of RoboCop in which George Gaines plays Dan O'Hurley's head of OCP. And the goot is RoboCop.
See, I was watching that, and I was just picturing actually that instead of characters from Police Academy in RoboCop, that it was RoboCop himself in Police Academy.
Oh, my God. And you thought Hightower was stressed. Gosh.
Somebody unplug this robot. Move it.
It was announced last month that Apple, the company that normally charges way too much for things, is offering iWork and iLife apps for free to old and new Mac and iOS users. If you have the old hardware, you can get some of Mac's fundamental software for free, according to a report from Mac Rumors. iWork and iLife's suite of apps, including iMovie, Numbers, Keynote Pages, GarageBand, and stuff, they're all free on the App Store. What the death of 32-bit iOS could mean for Apple's hardware and software. Previously, users with old hardware had to pay for each app. Individual programs were like $5 to $20 each, which would add up, you know, quite a bit. In 2013, Apple made iWork and iLife apps free for new Mac and iOS customers, but you had to purchase a new Apple device, which costs more than buying them as an old Apple person, before you can do any of those things at all. This is a surprising move for any computer company, since once a warranty of lifespan of a device ends, they're quick to sell you a new one. So kudos to you, Apple. You finally did something that Steve Jobs would be proud of. Now, get back to work on the new Apple Pen that will only interface with spiky tropical fruits.
Jordan Peele's Get Out proves yet again that the horror genre is still as vital as ever. The same can't be said, however, of sports movies these days. Has there been a successful one since Blades of Glory, or at least a funny one since Basketball?
No.
What's a sports movie to do? Mix the two and call it Sporer. Now, that consists of scary movies set in the world of sports that star celebrity athletes. So how the hell has this not been done already, aside from Scott Sigler in book form? We want to see it on the big screen. It's been right in front of our nose the whole time. Global studio called Gunpowder and Sky has joined forces with Mandalay Sports Media to launch this new genre, and their first venture will be a film called Lucky Number, in which a pro basketball superstar who must pay up on a deal he made with the devil transforming into the most athletic and frightening killer in cinematic history. It's good to see that they are setting reasonable expectations on their first endeavor on a mashup movie. John Weinbach, one of the executive producers at MSM, there are few places where more frightening than a dark, empty arena, and the sports landscape is full of strange and authentically frightening characters. We've never seen a mashup between horror and sports where everything from a hockey skate to a nacho cheese vat can be dangerous or even deadly. Clearly, he has not seen Yoga Hosers.
No, he's not.
Who knows? Maybe this will catch on. Audiences could demand to see Seventh Inning Slay, the story of a baseball team whose players keep dying because of a witch's curse, the gripping, curling zombie film, Zombice, or the dad seeking revenge when his son dies after riding with an extreme street skateboarding crew. Tony Hawk and Christian Slater star in Slaughtering the Cube.
Oh, the Sporer. The Sporer.
Earlier this week, Smash 4's top player said he was overwhelmed. We really need an off-season, Gonzalo Zero Barrios wrote on Twitter. Committed players are traveling the whole year with no breaks. The conversation snowballed, not the Kevin Smith way. Fans, tournament organizers, and fellow players noted that to organize an off-season, the anarchic Smash 4 community would need a governing body. If you don't know what the hell this means, he's an esports guy. If I were you, a Smash event organizer told him, I would band together, because he plays Smash professionally, I would band together with some folks and say, we're only going to attend X events that gives them power. You mean a union? So esports consultant, not making that up, Trent Murray went on to estimate that for a union to work, at least 80% of the top players in the professional video gaming world must agree to join. The issue with forming a Smash 4 union is that labor unions are regional. Smash 4 pros are scattered around the world. Mona Ilbraham, senior associate at the Interactive Entertainment Law Group, because that's a thing, explained that a union probably wouldn't be the best route for Smash 4 players. A players' association or guild organized under a nonprofit is much more feasible. Another issue is how the association would help negotiate fair contracts. Are there lawyers involved? Aren't there always? It's not so much about unionization, it's that the industry as a whole needs to examine its infrastructure and migrate. Right now, I think a lot of players represent themselves, so it's easy to take advantage of them. Now, Smash players may not know what their next step is going to be, but pros know what to do.
Oh, Billy Mitchell always has a plan.
You're damn right he does. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96.3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And if you happen to be some of the really cool, awesome, crazy people that are at Balticon, We miss you so much. Bring us next time, won't you, please? Oh, dear God. Hey, you know, you could drop us a note. And if you do, you can pitch us your favorite sport horror crossover. We'd like to know what you can dream up. Make something beautiful happen? Who knows? We might make some trailers. Send it to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Have an amazing weekend. Have a great Balticon. And we will see you when we do.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
What do you think?
It stinks.
Game over, man. Game over.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
Video games are meant to be played in a competitive environment, under pressure, organized, where you have to perform literally on demand.
Have you ever seen your husband compete head-to-head in video games?
Never. Never.
And when you do that, you have far more credibility than someone who says, oh, I did that last week. No matter how good you play tennis, no matter how good you play golf, if you don't play when you have to play, if you don't play when the pressure's on, you're really not good enough. Everybody.